Hello and welcome to the Undermined, a podcast about brute war AI development. My name is Shonko, your host from makingcomputerdothings.com. Let us begin. My guests today are MacRave.
Hey there.
And Litabot, also a returning guest.
Hi.
Nice to have you both back.
Nice to be back.
And this week has been very exciting for me and for the community as well. We see two very important events. Let's start with the SSCIT results. I mean, probably everyone saw last week's SnapetaCast by now, and there is the round of 16. Let's discuss that first. What do you think of the results of the matches? Well, like in general, but the specific matchups we can discuss as well.
I'm just going to find the bracket here so I can see.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have to say this. I didn't really find anything anything special. It's kind of like what I predicted, like Seda, of course, beating Thomas Veda. But the Bereaver Microwave game, that was a little bit close, though. I didn't expect it to be that close. I expected Microwave to be able to go 3-0 with it. But it was closer than I thought.
I must say, I'm on the same opinion. Bereaver held very nicely.
I'm a little surprised that TSC Moo actually took out Killerbot. That's a bot that hasn't been updated in months. Killerbot, I know, hasn't been too active. He was only active for like, you know, a month or two leading up to the tournament. But it seems like something you'd prepare for. But maybe he just didn't have time for that. TSC Moo is definitely more a macro oriented Protoss, whereas I guess if you have something like Locutus and Purple Wave, they're more aggressive. Or TSC Moo, you know, he expands like crazy, defends the expansions, and gets tons of tech. Gets like Corsairs that are difficult to deal with, and lots of Archons.
Do I remember correctly that TSC Moo is just absolutely researches everything at some point?
He can, yeah. Like, he definitely has the ability to. I'd imagine he'd use everything if he does research it. Like, even my bot, at some point, it just starts to research anything and uses it. There was a couple games. There was one versus Eric Hammer where my bot had D-webs and started using D-webs on Sunkens. Sometimes you just code that stuff just in case because it's kind of cool looking anyways. I think that's what TSM basically did.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, of course, Purple Wave were showing us some very nice games. And he's up against Banana Brain. I'm really curious about that.
And so, I know Dan has talked about that being his most difficult matchup, and he's tested it a lot. But I'm not sure if Banana Brain's PvP is his strongest. I've watched a couple of his games, and he has some good builds, but a lot of them are a little bit out of date, whereas Dan's are a little bit more modern. I think they tied each other, or I think they went 1-1 or something in the round. So that should be a pretty close game, but I think Purple Wave wins that one 3-2.
And if Purple Wave wins that one, it will go up against Seda, and I've got a feeling that Purple Wave will win against Seda after that. If Purple Wave beats Banana Brain, of course.
Some authors has dedicated anti-Seda tactics, so it's entirely possible.
Oh, definitely.
And yeah, Locutus is against TSCMU. I think it wouldn't be a big contest. My money is on Locutus. Actually, yeah. I think it's not even out of the question that Locutus will win this tournament. Either him or Seda.
I actually don't see Seda winning this at all. Just looking at the top bracket, Seda has to play Purple Wave or Banana Brain, which they have a good matchup versus Seda. And the only, like, Locutus is going to win round 2 and round 3. So in the semifinals, you're going to have a PvP. And the loser of that goes down to face what will probably be Seda in the loser round 6. So Seda is basically going to have to battle all of his worst matchups to get through. He's going to be, if he loses round 3 to Purple Wave, they'll be in losers round 4, then losers round 5, losers round six, and losers round six, they have to face another PvP and then go into the finals and still play probably another PvT. So they're going to, they have to struggle through pretty much three of their worst matchups more than likely.
Yeah, it does not look like he will win. Or it will win.
Yeah, it'll be between one of the three Protosses. I really don't think it'll be Sidon.
Yeah, stupid Protosses. We have to break the Protoss hegemony. And the last matchup is Ironbot versus Team Hammer. Well, I would guess it will be Ironbot.
Yeah, definitely. I like Steam Hammer. I like Jay, and you know, he works really hard on his bot, but he doesn't work on the right features at the right times. He has dozens of builds, but most of them are mediocre. They're doing stupid things at stupid times, and the same is true for Microwave to a lesser extent, where he'll do some weird build, and it'll be like a compromise between an all-in and like no tech and tons of drones, but then he'll have a bunch of Zerglings and just die to vultures or something. That's a problem with a lot of the Zerg bots that we talked about, but that's I think Steam Hammer is going to lose to Iron just because vultures.
Oh yeah, and it's funny because Jay had a blog post about what to focus on, and he outlined that yes, prioritize according to win rate and what wins you games. And as I saw, he's more likely working on stuff he finds fun or wants to do, and there is nothing wrong with that.
That's exactly what my stance was too. Like, my submission was purely something where I was just like, I want to have fun with my bot, and it was broken and buggy and stupid, but it was enjoyable at least. But if he wants to be serious about his competition, he needs to work on having like three or four builds per matchup and actually fine-tune them rather than just chuck them in and hope it works. He needs transitions and reactions. Like, you need some more substance behind it. It seems a little...
Yeah, can't really add anything to that. So yeah, that's the bracket of eight.
I think we'll have some interesting, at least, like, not interesting in terms of what the results will be, but just interesting games to watch in the loser bracket. Because we'll probably see TSEMU down there. And we'll probably see, like, what's down there right now, like Haupan and Killerbot and, like, you know, Bereaver. We'll see some cool matches, at least. We won't... There's not really any rush bots other than Crazio. And that's pretty much it for rush bots. I guess Lacutus and Purple Wave and Banana Brain can cheese, but they're all in upper bracket. So I think the loser bracket could at least have some cool games going on.
Definitely. I would argue that most of the top bots games are not that interesting at this point because, well, you know how they play. Sadler is the best example. It's doing the same thing every match. I'm not saying it's not a great bot. It is, and it's fun to watch, but you kind of know what to expect.
Yeah, like you watch something like Bereaver or TSEMU, all of a sudden they got scouts and shuttles with Reavers and friggin' Eric Hammers on like 20 bases with thousands of Mutalisks and Hydra. Then you got Crazy OP just spamming cannons into DT Rush Carrier. Like, come on, like that's gonna be entertaining. The top bracket's gonna be just like hardcore, like strict Brood War gameplay.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that. Well, I think we are 24 hours away from the next Nepetacost, so it won't be long now. Also, SSEAT hardware is getting upgraded, so the next tournament will be a little bit different than this one. Everyone is talking about the use of GPUs and, well, what will that bring?
Yeah, that gives a chance for Facebook to go up against Samsung. Really, that's really all we have to look for. Just a clash between basically the two big companies, see who can hold top of the ladder the longest, I guess.
Have you, any of you, thought about using a GPU some way or building?
Yeah, more of the machine learning part, not really for the other not really for the actual game itself, just the machine learning part, and then I'll put the machine learning part into my bot without using the GPU in the game itself. Not really for the, not really during the game. I mean.
Yeah, I would say that during the game you are not really starved for performance, or at least not in a way that a GPU could solve that. Mostly you have to design your bot better or not do any unnecessary things. All right, I think that's enough for SSCIT results. The another big topic, of course, is this week's DeepMind presentation. It was awesome. For those who haven't seen it yet, everyone who listens to this podcast, I'm 100% sure seen it, but just a quick reminder. Basically, DeepMind's Alpha Star bot, which is a StarCraft robot, managed to have a 10-1 record against humans. Five of those games were a good player, but not a pro gamers, not a pro gamer, and five other games were against an actual pro player. And the only winning game, when a human won, were against a slightly dumped down version of Alpha Star. So that's very impressive in and itself. I might add that this was custom tailored to Protoss versus Protoss and one set map, which I don't remember the name of. Well, I'm sure you have thoughts on the matter.
In the past, it kind of gave OpenAI shit because they basically they took Dota and they turned it into like a game version that wasn't Dota, and then beat pros with it, and they tooted it around like, look at us guys, we are amazing, we beat pros with our AI, and really in reality they were playing a different game. In this case, no, they actually played StarCraft. Sure, it was one map and one matchup, but they played StarCraft fully and they won. And people have thought about AI taking, another 10 years to beat pros in Brood War. I'm not really sure if that's the case, but for StarCraft 2, it's looking like it's much shorter than that anyways. I was always under the impression that as of 2019, I think we got another 2 years until pros are outshined by Brood War bots. I said 3 years at the 2017 AID, and then at the 2018 AID, I said 3 years again, but I think I'll change it down to two now.
Yeah, I also thought it was going to be like about 2 years or so. But really, what really impressed me was that if you've seen the BlizzCon presentation, then the bot they showed there that was still worker rushing and still kind of struggling against the elite AI otherwise, and to see them improve in such a short period of time, that was what really impressed me.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what sort of strategies they decide to pull out against humans, just because StarCraft 2 is a game of small victories over and over, compounding until your lead is bigger than. But when it comes to Brood War, it's a little bit different, where you can have a small lead and then someone makes a tech switch and completely kills you. So I'm not sure. I guess I'm not sure if the complexity of StarCraft 2. I don't play it a whole lot. I used to play it a bit, but at this point, I don't know how far you can take AI in that game, because it just seems like if you're making these small victories over and over and over, obviously you're going to win. And AI is amazing at micromanaging. They're great at multitasking, and that's how you get those small victories. Whereas in Brood War, you can't really just win on micro. You actually have a little more strategy to it. You got to worry about your units not being able to path through a choke like 30 units at a time. If you watch that AI, it never had to worry about that. It walked through a choke point because all their units fluidly moved through it, because that was StarCraft 2. They didn't have to worry about a drop decimating their worker line, because not many StarCraft 2 units just completely decimate a line instantly. They're strong, but they don't kill things that fast, I guess.
Yeah, StarCraft 2, in a sense, for AI, it's a bit easier than Brood War. I would definitely say so.
Did you see that SSCIT was mentioned in one of the slides in the DeepMind presentation?
Yeah, that's probably also because Oriol actually participated in one of the AI competitions, the very first one, in 2010, one that was actually sponsored by Blizzard as well.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. And unfortunately, they did not talk about SSCIT. It was just displayed on the slide. And one could have an impression that it's thing of the past and no longer active. I think just from looking at the slide, I would have appreciated them mentioning that, yeah, it's still ongoing. But it wasn't about that, so.
Yeah, also it's StarCraft 2 and not Boot War. I'm still waiting, of course, for the AI tournaments from Boot War to also adapt StarCraft 2 into their, especially academic conferences. But as Dave Schurzel said, it's not that easy.
One thing I like to add that, yes, these results are impressive, but this was a dedicated team, dedicated, well-supplied and well-paid team, continuously working on this bot for at least for the last half a year or 1 year, I don't know. And that does not diminish the achievement. But one thing I noted that when they showed the clips, they themselves were very surprised, seemed very surprised that they actually beat humans. So it is definitely a breakthrough.
Is it really that much of a breakthrough? I guess, yeah, sure. You know, you beat pros in StarCraft 2, but I agree with Leda that Brood War is just a more difficult game. And I want to see them beat pros in Brood War before we start saying, wow, AI is amazing. It's great. Like, it's great results, yeah, but I want to see Brood War results, I guess. I think that would tell you more that, oh yeah, AI is better than pros now.
I think you are biased.
Oh, I definitely am.
Yeah, me too. And yeah, because you could argue also that SC2 has a proper API, and well, BW API is basically a hack. Not to mention that Brood War is basically a hack and has what the fuck code pieces. So yeah, definitely you have to fight the game engine itself. And maybe with SC2 API, that's not the case.
Yeah, the thing is with the StarCraft 2 API is it's more you're sending out commands through like some actual interface, whereas in Brood War API you're directly hooked into the game, which you did the thing with Adam Heinemann, the other podcast, and he mentioned how Brood War API 5 is going to change that as well. That's something I'm looking forward to as well, like an actual official API for Brood War.
Yeah, the Brood War engine itself is just weird. There's so many oddities that we have to deal with. Like right now, I have a crash on my Zerg bot where as soon as an assimilator dies, it crashes. And that's just because of the way I handle them, because the on-unit death, on-unit renegade, on-unit morph, all that stuff is just annoying to deal with. I don't think StarCraft 2 has those issues anyways, but I don't know a whole lot about it. But I would imagine that having a more modern game engine, they don't have to deal with a lot of these difficulties.
Yeah, I remember just the bookkeeping, like how many units I have and where, it's a nightmare because every method I have to add some different kind of logic. And for a Zerg bot, then that's extra hard to keep track of. Well, it's not hard, it's just obscure. And another point was brought up. Apparently, they limited the APM of Alpha Star. Now, this is a pain point for me because I think APM limits are very arbitrary and you could easily circumvent them. But for some reason, they decided to limit the APM. Apparently, SC2 has higher APMs than Brood War. But ignoring that issue, what's your take on this? Do you think that's helpful or needed or counts at all?
Well, it's not strictly needed. After all, there are no APM limits in human tournaments either. But the thing is that in StarCraft 2 as well as in Brood War, if you spam too much APM, then commands won't get registered. It's this, both of the engines have some anti-spam, APM spam already in their game engine. But with that said, though, it's still, of course, more impressive if you do it with less APM.
Yeah, I definitely agree. They were limited by APM and I think screen movement. I think they had like 30 screen movements a minute or something.
I think
so. Right?
The limit was 30 screens at the same time, 30 screens worth of information. Then again, I don't know how they come to that number.
Right. But even still, if that's the limitation, then like obviously my claim earlier of that's not a huge break. Well, now, yeah, if you limit APM and you limit screens and, you know, you limit this and that, well, it starts to get more impressive. But I'd like to see their full potential. Like screw it. Screw the humans. Make it as powerful as you can. Give it as unlimited actions and resources. That's part of the fun of this. We're not trying to fight on equal grounds. We're trying to overpower them. We're trying to make these AIs like impossible to beat on every possible level. Same with when they did it with Dota. They gave the bots an average reaction time of, God, what was it? It was 150 milliseconds or not even, but it still looked instantaneous because, you know, it's not just that we're reacting to something that we know it's going to be there. Humans have to react to it being there and then react to pressing the button. You know, they kind of were cheeky about it with that regard, but no, screw it. Like, remove those limitations, just play at the maximum capability and let's see what happens. That's kind of the whole point of all of this. That'd be like saying, well, if you're limited to 300 APM, well, then you should be limited to playing 5 games a day on learning, right? If you're limiting something to a human level, don't just pick and choose. Don't cherry pick. Limit all of it or limit none of it.
I have to entirely agree with that. It's all arbitrary in the end. And if you limit the APM, it's okay. If I consider a million possible ways to solve this situation and only pick one, that's just one action, then what's my true APM? And also, limiting reaction time, like humans don't have equal reaction time. They are vastly different. Humans are not uniform at all. Okay, they won't have as quick reactions as a machine, but still.
I think both can be interesting. Just whichever one you prefer, you go for. And although there aren't really any, if you go into like an AI tournament, there aren't really any rules on APM limits because it's already limited by the game engine itself and other things like that. So it's for now, at least, still personal preference. So just go for whichever you want to go for, let's say.
Yeah, and seeing a set amount of screens is also something weird for me, because how fast you can scroll around and how many screens can cycle through both in a second, and whether is that a meaningful limit at all. And in the end, they said a lot of interesting things. And my observation is on this is the bot picked a tactic that no human picked before. It was something that was only feasible for a bot to execute with basically infinite micro. And let me brag for a little, because I wrote an article about this, and this was my prediction that the first bot that really reliably beats human pros wouldn't be using any tactic developed by humans, but rather something that's only feasible to execute for bots. And I would say that's pretty much exactly what happened.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. There's part of the reason why I feel like Zerg will eventually be the best AI bot in Brood War is because with unlimited APM, you can move 100 Zerglings and 5 Defilers and just completely win a fight. It won't even be close. And like, I don't see what reactions are there. Psystorms, you dodge them. Reavers, you dodge them. As a Terran, how do you even deal with that? Yeah.
Science vessels.
Yeah, even with a vessel, though, you irradiate one of them, and it just runs it away.
Yeah, but the thing about science vessels is they regenerate energy, and they can keep on irradiating once you've got a large cloud of them. With that, you can keep your defilers at bay. Besides that, you can also go for mass raids and simply snipe a lot of overlords if you go too heavy on your ground troops. So there's that.
Definitely. Like, there will be at least some response, but as those defilers, if those defilers ever get close to your buildings, you know, those zerglings are just already under it with a dark. You have to be, like, it'll change the map. It'll change it to how humans play it, where they have to be out on the map. They have to be out with their vessels. They have to kill those defilers, because a bot with unlimited APM with defilers and zerglings is just going to end the game. Same with StarCraft 2. You got, like, the Disruptors and the Phoenixes. Those are units with, you know, if you have unlimited APM, they're amazing. Blinkstalkers, you know.
Yeah, off a Star 1 with Blinkstalkers, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, I did. But the thing is that against, for example, Terran, you couldn't really do it exactly like that, because Terran can get themselves some siege tanks. Those are in StarCraft 2 as well. And like currently the units are still very clumped up. So if you position your siege tanks well enough, then the Blinkstalkers won't work against, for example, Terran. So in PvP, it's a good strategy if you've got a lot of APM. But I think that, like, the high-level Terran players, like your Thermal, could still beat the current DeepMind because of things like siege tanks.
Yeah, I'm curious what the AI will learn to use in other matches.
Well, they said that it was 200 years of training, so I think we can safely say that no human has trained 200 years for StarCraft leagues. And one of the developers of Alpha Star was David Silver, who is a university professor, and he mentioned that they used reinforcement learning for this. Actually, David Silver has the reinforcement learning course on YouTube. So if you're curious about that sort of thing, then definitely check it out. And I'm curious about, did you use or have any familiarity with reinforcement learning?
I've had it at my AI courses at university, so I know about them. But the thing is that if you want to do it at the level that DeepMind does it, you need a lot of processing power, which is why I'm looking currently into genetic programming instead, because that way I don't need that much processing power for machine learning.
Yeah, can you elaborate on that a little?
Well, like I was still actually got a little bit sick this month as well, so I haven't really been working on it that much, so it's still a work in progress. But once it's there, I'll let you know.
Yeah, can't wait to see that. So yeah, my next question is kind of already answered, but what do you think, how feasible is it to do something like that for Brood War? Have a league for a bot and only different versions of the bot plays against itself on in that league?
Yeah, the Brood War API supports continuous games, so you can easily do that with the Brood War API as well. So it's not that difficult. Once you know how to do it in StarCraft 2, you could do it in Brood War.
Yeah, maybe the technical challenges are not that hard, but to have 200 years of learning, I expect you should have some kind of hardware. Or maybe just a lot of virtual machines, I don't know.
No, not from a technical perspective, but more strategic. I don't know, like, even if it was one matchup like PvP, I don't know the StarCraft 2 meta a whole lot, what build orders there are and how different that is, but for every build order you have, you're increasing your number of games exponentially. If you have two build orders, right, and neither counter each other, well, then you don't have a problem. But in PvP, you have stuff where, like, you can open Dragoon first out of a one gate core, but you would die immediately to any proxy gate or something like in TVT, if you were going for a 14cc, but then you got BBS'd, you're probably dead. So there's that sort of complexity, I guess, to Brood War. Now, I don't know much about StarCraft 2, but for what I've been told, you know, you start with like 10 or something workers. So I can't remember. And rushes don't...
I think I was a little bit more than that. But also another thing to consider is that StarCraft 2 still gets balance changes. So besides just learning the game, you also need to be able to get a more generalized concept where they also mentioned that they played on the Blizzard patch, which was some months ago. And if there's like a new patch out there, you need to be able to retrain your bot very fast. And I do wonder if DeepMind will be able to do that.
That's an interesting thought. Like if you even have like a small numbers change, that's going to affect all your learning. Like even if it was like zealot damage increased by one, it's like, okay, well now zealots are way better in certain circumstances. That would change all your learning.
Yeah, and things that humans can adapt to those changes quite easily. Question is, of course, how fast DeepMind can react to changes in balance. Whereas in Brood War, you don't really have that because the game itself remained the same for many years now.
Around 20.
I hope they nerf vultures, though. I'm biased, I know.
Well, not 20. The last balance patch was somewhere 2000. I don't know exactly which year, but it's been like for almost 10 years. The balance hasn't changed. No balance patch.
Yeah, that's true, but the Brood War API is tied to 1.16 version of StarCraft. I don't know when that
But what I mean is...
You can raise a completely valid point as Brood War don't get stuff patched out, at least not as often. So yeah, otherwise you're right. Yeah, so any of you play StarCraft 2 or... What do you think of the game itself? When I first tried out, I decided, okay, this is not a bad game. That it's not for me.
I myself played the campaign. I also played some ladder games, but I'm not really, really good at it. In Brood War, I am D+, and in StarCraft 2, I am Gold League. So that's still slightly better than a beginner player, and that's about my skill.
I played Wings of Liberty when it came out, and I was a filthy 4 gating Protoss, and I got Diamond, and then I pretty much stopped playing ladder. Sometimes I play like 3v3s and 4v4s, but usually in those games I just go nuke rushing, which I know Hannes would love that. I literally just tons of nukes and I just keep nuking. It's all. Brood War I am terrible at, and I won't even comment on it. I'm seriously terrible at that game.
This is a recurring theme for both authors who are actually not that great players. But that's all understandable. You need time for programming, not playing silly games.
Exactly. I play other games instead. Lud, are you still working on your Brood War bot? Or are you kind of just focusing
currently
on
still more focused on my StarCraft 2, but like the algorithms I put in one, I usually find a way to transfer them into the other. But I'm not really anymore. I'm just writing up some things for academic presentations and things like that. I'm not really super active anymore, but I'm still working on both my StarCraft 2 and Brood War bots. Yeah.
What's your bot's license?
MIT license, so you can just use it for whatever.
Okay.
So this. Alpha Star presentation, last I checked, had around 250,000 views on YouTube. So you could say people were quite curious about that. With that, I think we will see an influx of new bot authors. That won't be surprising. Do you think some of those were try themselves out in Brood War as well?
You know, I hope so, but at the same time, they're going to get crushed on the ladder because SSCIT and Basil are starting to disable really weak bots. So they won't really have the same level competition. I think it would be, I guess, useful to have like two brackets, I guess, for SCIT or something, like a top level bracket and a low level bracket. Not a student division, mixed division thing. I know that used to be a thing, but just something that's divided by ELO, so you don't have, you know, top bots playing shit bots that just get smashed in 3.5 minutes. Because right now, you know, if you submit your bot that beats an in-game AI, well, you're probably going to get about a 10% win rate on a CIT.
Yeah, I mentioned that before. If you lose to a very basic 4-pool bot, then you should code better.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, so that if you're starting out, it would still probably be best to go for Sarkov 2 because the bots themselves aren't really that developed yet in terms of the amateur bots. So if you want to have like a chance at winning, Sarkov 2 is still the best bet because boot for the amateur bots themselves are still at quite a high level, which you can't really overcome that easily as a beginner, which is usually why if you start out as a beginner, you pick like an open source bot and go from there.
Yeah, that's always a good starting point. Only the crazies do bots from scratch, like me. And also, I feel that StarCraft 2 players who have no coding experience will try themselves out in this. I mean, I can't predict that, but it's a vastly more popular game right now than Brood War, if I'm correct. So naturally, more people will be attracted to this.
Brood War is still more popular in South Korea. Like in terms of StarCraft 2, South Korea has kind of lost interest in StarCraft 2 and regained interest in Brood War. But outside of that, StarCraft 2 is more popular.
Yeah, StarCraft Remastered is a thing, and we are very much active. And my heart is with Brood War always, so that won't change.
Also, for what it's worth, Leto was pretty close. The last balance patch for Brood War was 2000. So
2000 what?
2001.
Wow.
Oh, 2001. Yeah, the last 1.16 was 2008.
That's pretty crazy.
Remember when missile turrets cost 100 minerals? Or was that before even Brood War? I really can't say.
Wait, what costed what?
Missile turrets. Terran missile turrets.
Oh, yeah, that was that patch. They decreased it to 75.
And also maybe Dragoons got a cost decrease in that patch as well. Originally.
That was the one before it. One of the balance patches before it, but yeah, it's pretty much around the same time. It's basically from the year 99 to 2001 they did balance patches. That was about it.
I remember that I was playing in like a PC cafe because the internet were not really a thing back then, and we were always having these conflicts that which patch we should play on. And you want the latest patch because that Zerg got stronger and that's why you win always.
Okay. Yeah. And spawning pools cost 150 minerals at one.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
I mean, the not so nice gamer reactions were very present at the DeepMind discussion as well. I just scrolled through the comments, and it's not something you should do often. And people were claiming that the AI was cheating because of reasons. I feel they kind of missed the point there.
Yeah, I guess they don't really understand the idea that AI, the goal of it is to play as fast as possible with unlimited APM, but I guess those people missed that memo. We'll have to resend them in.
We have to beat them into submission, yes.
So we should probably talk just briefly about things that bots haven't done yet. What do you feel like they will be doing? Like what sort of strategies that we see, like Saida doing those big drops with tanks and vultures. But what do pros do that bots don't do right now, what would be game changing? And I think one of those right now would be Protoss recalls. We don't do those against Terran right now, but that would devastate them if we took out all their factories. Terrans are not putting missile turret rings up. They're not putting mines in their main. It would end the game every single time.
I think bots will find a use to units that have no real role nowadays. Maybe even scouts, I don't know. But a good example would be queens, which can be utilized, and pro players mostly don't bother with them.
Yeah, ghosts will be quite good as well on DVP if you can do your lockdowns correctly.
Yeah,
lockdown is actually a strong skill.
Defilers are not really used, but those are pretty much the end game unit for Zerg in human. I can't even imagine a bot being able to dark swarm and plague my units. That would be so difficult to deal with. I wouldn't be ready.
I think TSMU uses defilers, but
he does.
Can't mention any other bot that does.
Yeah, I can't think of really any. And then I can't think of really much other than maybe in TVT, battlecruisers aren't used a whole lot, but I don't know.
Battlecruisers are used in late game.
Yeah, for here.
You usually see them in pro games in late game.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get to see that with bots, because Yamato Cannon with bots would be amazing.
Yamato Cannon was kind of a meme for a time, but sadly no one implemented a mass Yamato ink bot.
I had a battlecruiser built on my bot. I should re-enable that. It's really fun. Just battlecruisers and marines.
Mine goes for battlecruisers in late game DVZ. Because just to clear out the map mostly, but it actually goes for them.
Oh, they're amazing in TVZ. They one-shot Scourge. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. And very few bot utilizes Dark Archons as well. And
yeah.
I would so like to see Dark Archon stealing a worker from the enemy. That's something I yearn for.
You want me to do that?
Yes.
All right.
I even offer you a whole pizza if you do it.
When's the timeline? When do I need to have this done by?
Yeah, I don't want to hurry, but maybe tomorrow?
Oh my god. See what I can do.
No, but whenever you're ready, I owe you a pizza. You heard it, here.
I do actually intend on adding them as a late game PVZ. Something on 4-5 bases and get Maelstrom. But I could add some stupid builds where, I don't know, just grab a Dark Archon and just go my control worker. Probably use it against a really weak bot. Just, I don't know, DT rush a bio Terran and then kill off everything except one worker and then go steal the worker and start making an army. I'll do it. It's just going to take some time.
And you have to take care that you build up the full 400 supply before attacking.
All right. I can do it. I'll make it 400 carrier, arbiter, battle cruiser, science vessel.
Can't. Steal an SCV and make 200 firebats. That would be the memest of builds.
Okay, that's three pizzas then, and I will do it. I will do it.
Let me see what I can do.
I mean, somebody had told me a while back, hey, why don't you try taking an island? I'm like, alright. So I did. I remember, I wasn't the first, but damn, that was fun to do.
One of Nepeta's greatest pet peeves is island taking by bots.
I remember the cast where I submitted the replay. He missed it completely. Yeah. But island taking is a really interesting strategy anyway.
Well, why wouldn't you do it? One thing I'm thinking about is proper use of the terrain, and not just the high ground, but apparently if you're under a tree, you get the enemy units get a mischance against you, which is first of all hilarious, second of all it's free advantage. You just have to stand under a tree, and I didn't see any bot utilizing this. I'm pretty sure that Broodwar has a lot of stuff that can be used that way as well. We use ramps. Ramps are generally something good, considered something good, but no trees as far.
There's a new map out, I think it's called Whiteout. It's in KSL, I think, or ASL. Either way, it's a map that has like a forest in the middle. I'll link.
Yeah, that's nice of you, but the audience won't see it. But maybe, oh. Maybe I just add it into the podcast post.
That might be good. Anyways, so this map, ASL added this, and there was a TVT on it, and it was amazing to watch because they would siege the tanks behind the trees and then scan in front where they think the enemy is. And then the enemy would just get massacred by these basically invisible tanks behind these trees, because not only did it block vision, but it also gave you that mischance. So they'd be set up in these forests, basically just waiting. It is pretty impressive, honestly, that this is a balanced feature. I'm curious if this map long-term actually remains balanced. It seemed pretty good. I think that was a game that Leda was actually playing in. And he basically had tank wars in the forest with another Terran.
Yeah, I'm all for goofy maps. I petitioned to add plasma to the map pool in the SSCAT. Not really, but I would like to see some games on that.
Yeah, I do plan on adding that for the Tiny Craft tournament. Just adding like plasma or something. We did settle on island builds, so, or island maps rather, so we will be choosing something like that.
Leta, what do you think? Do your bot, can your bot handle funky maps?
Currently it can't, especially not island maps.
Are you planning working on something like that?
Currently I have no plans to make some make my bot more adaptable to maps. My bot still assumes the standard pro tournament map.
Yeah, map, terrain, and pathfinding is a great topic, and I'm biased with bringing up this because I'm actively working on some pathfinding for my bot. And the thing is, I have to learn the pathfinding algorithms, then I have to learn how to make an abstract representation of the Brood War map, which is not as simple as it sounds. Then I have to adapt the algorithms to that, then realize that I fucked it up. So yeah, it's not a trivial thing. How much did you work on pathfinding? Did you have any breakthrough?
Me or McGrave, because I haven't really added that much in terms of pathfinding.
Yep, when I don't ask someone specifically, the question is for everyone. So, what?
Yeah, I haven't really done anything specific in pathfinding.
I basically took B-Web. I was using A-Star for a while. Then I used Spread First, and then now I'm using something called Jump Point Search, which is basically just a... It looks like a version of A-Star that's cheating. It's very quick. I use that for ground distance calculations, combat simulation, and I use it for pathing workers to build points and whether or not it's safe to do worker transfers.
Cheating A-Star, that's a name I like. Yeah, I started out with a variant of Breadth First Search, and it was surprisingly effective because, after all, it's just a grid. I named it Best Friend Search just to confuse everyone. So far, I haven't found any friends with it, but decent pets were acquired. All right, I think let's conclude the cast. So thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
And see you next time.